Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I was just looking at the calendar before we started, and it is February 2026. Does that feel real to you?
Not really. It feels like a decade ago we were in 2024.
Right. I mean, looking back just 2 years, it feels like we're on a completely different planet. Do you remember 2024?
Vaguely,
We
yes.
were all losing our minds because a chatbot could write a limerick or, summarize an email.
We thought that was the peak. Look, it talks.
Exactly. But looking back from where we are now, that whole era, it just looks quaint. It looks like the Stone Age of AI.
It really does. It's the
Yeah.
difference between a parlor trick and a genuine industrial revolution. If 2024 was about words, generating text, answering
The etsy
prompts,
seattle complete basically.
right, then 2026 is entirely about actions. We aren't just talking to machines anymore. We are hiring them.
And that is the massive shift we're unpacking today. We are diving into what's being called the agentic revolution. We've got this mega report from Tekken Game, the Agentic Revolution, and it dissects the three absolute titans dominating the landscape right now: Microsoft Copilot, Google Gemini, and Anthropic's Claude.
The big three.
And our mission for you today is to help you figure out which of these digital brains you should actually hire to run your life.
And hire is definitely the right word. The source material uses this analogy that I think just perfectly frames the leap we've made.
The swimming one.
The swimming one. Think of the old chatbots from 24 as like a consultant. You ask them, how do I swim?
And they give you a perfect textbook description.
Perfect. They might even write you a poem about swimming, but they stay dry.
They're on the pool deck just yelling instructions.
Exactly. But today's AI agents, they're the ones who jump into the water with you. They navigate the currents, they pull you through the waves, and they drag you onto the shore. They don't just tell you, they do.
And that's the core concept of agency, isn't it? The ability to act independently to achieve a high-level goal.
Precisely. They don't just give you a recipe. They order the groceries, they schedule the delivery, and if the store is out of basil, they make an executive decision to grab oregano instead, without bothering you.
That shift from passive answering to active doing is what we need to wrap our heads around.
It's everything.
Okay, so before we get into the brand wars, because I know people are dying to know if they should be Team Microsoft or Team Google, let's unpack the how. Because for a lot of people, myself included, this jump from talking to doing feels a bit like magic. What actually changed under the hood?
It's not magic. It's a fundamental change in the software architecture. Traditional chatbots operated on a really simple linear loop: input, process, output.
A straight line.
Straight line. You ask a question, it gives an answer. End of transaction. It has no memory of what it just did, no ability to see if it was right or wrong.
Okay.
But the agents we're seeing now, in 2026, they use a recursive loop of autonomy. The report talks about the REACT framework, which stands for Reason Plus Act.
Reason and act.
But the most important part of that framework isn't the acting, it's the observing.
The observing, what do you mean?
It's a loop. See, the agent reasons about a goal. It acts, and then, and this is the crucial part, it observes the result of its own action. It checks its work.
So it's not just firing off a command and hoping for the best. It actually watches to see what happens.
Exactly. Let's say it tries to visit a website and the link is broken. The old bots would just, hallucinate an answer or give up.
I can't do that.
Right. An agent in 2026 hits that broken link, observes the error, reasons that it needs to try something else, and then acts again. It self-corrects. That recursive loop is what separates a tool from a worker.
That distinction is huge. The source had that travel scenario that was the perfect aha moment for
You have
me.
to walk through it, yeah.
The old way, the chatbot way, you'd say, find me flights to London, and it spits out a list.
And that's fine, but you're still the project manager. You have to take that list, go to the booking site, check your calendar, check your credit card.
You do all the hard parts.
All of them. But the new way, the agentic way, you just tell the agent, plan my London business trip, and then the recursive loop starts.
Right.
So it decomposes that goal. It thinks, okay, to plan a trip, I need flights, hotels, approval. It checks your corporate travel policy to see what you're allowed to spend.
He knows the rules.
It syncs with your Outlook to make sure you're not flying during a board meeting. It checks your loyalty programs to get you the hotel points.
And it doesn't just list them.
No, it drafts the confirmation email to the client you're meeting. It blocks the time on your calendar, and it holds the bookings for your final approval. It has done 95% of the work.
It's not a tool anymore. It's a collaborator. And The report mentioned there's a new metric for this, right? We're not looking at how well it writes poetry anymore.
No, the benchmarks have shifted entirely. We used to care about, like, tokens per second or language fluency. The new gold standard in 2026 is the success rate of autonomous task completion.
Can it finish the job?
Without you having to intervene. That's the only thing that matters now.
Okay, so with that framework in mind, that we're looking for a collaborator who can finish the job, let's look at the candidates. First up, Microsoft Copilot Pro.
The productivity powerhouse, the central nervous system of Windows 12.
That sounds intense, but knowing Microsoft, maybe a little clunky.
It's intense, but surprisingly fluid. I mean, if you are anchored in the Microsoft ecosystem, if your life is Outlook, Excel, Teams, this is the one you can't ignore.
The integration is that deep.
It's system level. It's not just an app you open. It's aware of what you're doing from the moment you boot up.
Okay, but I have to play devil's advocate. The feature that jumped out in the report was the end of manual formatting in Excel and PowerPoint. We've seen auto-generated slides before.
And they were terrible.
Right. Generic corporate clip art disasters. Does Copilot actually understand design?
That's a fair skepticism. And in 2024, you'd be right. But the 2026 update to its visual engine means it understands semantic design.
Okay, what does that mean?
The report describes taking a raw JSON data set, just ugly raw code, and telling Copilot, create a 15-slide investor deck with interactive visualizations and a growth narrative.
And it doesn't look like a template from 1998.
No, it doesn't just paste the chart. It highlights the outlier data point in red because it understands that point is the story. It writes the speaker notes. The design is based on the meaning of the data.
So it's not just formatting, it's editorializing.
Exactly. But, and this is the catch, it's corporate safe editorializing. It's going to make a perfect McKinsey-style slide every time. Effective, but very standard.
Still, it saves me from PowerPoint hell, which is worth the subscription price alone. What about for developers? The report calls the GitHub Copilot agent the Holy Grail.
Oh, it really is. It's gone so far beyond suggesting lines of code. It's now like a senior architect that never sleeps.
Wow.
It can manage entire pull requests. It can scan legacy code stuff written 5 years ago by someone who left the company, find security vulnerabilities, and fix them. It's proactive.
That proactive nature seems to be the theme. It mentioned Teams, where it acts as a secretary. And okay. Honestly, that scares me a little.
It listens. It's called intelligent meeting orchestration. So it listens to the debate, it summarizes the key points, but then it proactively drafts action items in Microsoft To-Do for the specific people.
Wait, so if I say I'll handle the budget?
Copilot puts that task on your list without anyone asking. It enforces accountability.
Incredible efficiency. But yeah, no place to hide.
Exactly. And that's the trade-off with Copilot. The report says it has a very rigid, business-centric logic. It's a suit-and-tie agent. It lacks soul.
A suit and tie agent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if Copilot is the executive in the corner office, let's talk about the agent that lives in your pocket.
Yeah.
Google Gemini Advanced.
Master of the live data ecosystem.
The report focuses on multimodality and ubiquity. So
yeah.
This is for the person living on Android. But ubiquity sounds a little intrusive.
It is intrusive. That's the design. Google's strategy is that the agent should be everywhere you are. Your browser, your phone, your home.
And it has access to everything. Maps, flights, Gmail.
All of it. The report gave this example of an autonomous mobile assistant task that just blew my mind.
The boarding pass one.
Yes. You asked Gemini, find the QR code for my boarding pass in my unread emails and set it as my lock screen for the next 2 hours.
The complexity of that is staggering when you think about it.
It is. It has to search emails, identify an image as a QR code, understand the context, interact with the phone's OS, and set a timer.
And it does it all on its own. You don't open 3 different apps?
Nope. And then there's the memory. The report calls it the memory monster.
The 2.5 million token context window. What does that practically mean for a normal user?
It means it remembers everything. You could upload a year's worth of your journals, thousands of photos, and ask, when was the last time I felt truly inspired? And it will find the pattern.
That gives me chills. But wait, uploading a year of journals? So to get the magic, I have to let Google read my diary?
You have to let Google stand over your shoulder and watch every single thing you do, not just watch. Record, analyze, predict.
That feels like a very high price to pay for a dinner reservation.
It is. The report is blunt about this. If you are privacy conscious, Gemini is a nightmare. But if you are a convenience maximalist,
yeah,
it's the only option. You pay with your data, you buy back your time.
And it dominates real world logistics because it knows where you are.
Right. It coordinates a group dinner by checking everyone's calendars, cross-referencing that with restaurants on maps that fit dietary restrictions, and then suggesting a driving route. It's the ultimate social coordinator.
Okay, so we have the rigid productivity of Microsoft, the ubiquitous but invasive helper from Google. What about the third option, Anthropic's Claude 3.5 Opus?
The one the report calls the architect of logic.
Claude is fascinating because they took a completely different path, didn't they?
Completely. While Microsoft and Google were building these huge ecosystems, Anthropic just built a brain.
And it's for academics, lawyers, strategists. Why them specifically?
Think of it as the difference between a smart intern and a senior partner. Copilot and Gemini are the interns. They run around, they fetch things, they're eager to please.
They book the flights.
Claude is the senior partner. It's the one who reads the contract and says, hang on, this clause is dangerous.
That comes down to accuracy then.
It's constitutional AI, not just as a safety feature, but as a reliability engine. Claude is far less likely to hallucinate. If you give it a 500-page medical paper and ask for a summary, you can trust that summary is factually anchored.
For a lawyer, I guess hallucination isn't a bug, it's malpractice.
Exactly. And that intellectual humility, knowing when to say, I don't know, rather than making something up, that's its killer feature.
But it's not just a text box anymore, is it? The report mentioned artifacts.
Yes, artifacts.
Yeah.
It's an interactive workspace inside the chat.
So what can you do with it?
You can basically build software prototypes. You tell Claude, build me an interactive financial dashboard or prototype a web app for this idea. It writes the code, it renders it, and lets you test it right there.
A collaborative design partner. So it's for builders and thinkers.
And for the privacy-conscious intellectual. It doesn't crawl your email unless you invite it to. It's for the person who wants a powerful brain to bounce ideas off of without the surveillance.
Okay, so we have these three incredible but very different tools. I want to zoom out for a second. The report has a section on the global perspective. This is changing economies.
Oh, it is. We're seeing it solve productivity crises in places like Canada and the UK. But what's really interesting is how it levels the playing field for small and medium businesses.
How so? Usually new tech favors the big guys.
Not this time. Think about the compliance gap. A small textile firm in Vietnam could never bid for a German government contract because the paperwork, the legal phrasing, it was just a barrier.
They need a whole legal team.
Right. But now, with an agent like Claude that's been fed EU regulatory frameworks, that firm can generate perfectly compliant, localized documentation in seconds. It demonetizes bureaucracy.
That's profound. It lets the builders build without getting strangled by red tape.
It's terrifying for bureaucrats, liberating for builders, but it does create a new challenge inside companies. The report calls it the managerial shift.
What does that mean for you, the listener?
It changes the definition of competence. Your value isn't typing the words anymore. The work is moving from doing the task to orchestrating the agent who does the task.
But the doers are becoming editors.
We're all becoming editors. And the report warns this is a dangerous transition. There are a lot of people who are excellent at doing the work, but terrible at delegating it. If you can't clearly describe the architecture to the agent and review its work, you have no value.
That's a huge wake-up call.
It is.
Which brings us to the big question. We've gone through the tech, the products, the impact.
Yeah.
For the listener sitting there, which one do they choose? The report gives a pretty clear verdict based on your digital life.
It really does come down to where you spend your time and what you value.
Okay, let's break it down. Who buys Microsoft?
If you live in Excel, PowerPoint, VS Code, if you're a corporate warrior or a developer, the choice is Microsoft Copilot Pro. It's the office companion, the safe, productive choice.
And if you're the mobile-first user, the person running around the city,
then it has to be Google Gemini Advanced. If you live in the cloud and you need real-time knowledge of the physical world, it's the only choice. But you are paying with your privacy. Remember that.
And finally, for the deep thinkers.
If you're a writer, a strategist, a researcher, someone who values precision, privacy, and logical reasoning over flashy OS integration, then Claude 3.5 Opus is your throne. It's the senior partner you want in the room with you.
It's amazing how distinct they've become. In 2024, they all felt kind of the same.
And that leads to the final advice from the Tech in Game report, which I think is the most important takeaway of all.
Don't just talk to these AIs, give them work.
Exactly. Stop treating them like search engines. Assign them tasks, give them responsibility, because the time you save today is the freedom you have tomorrow.
It's a powerful thought. Your capacity isn't defined by how fast you can type, but by the digital workforce you can command.
And that brings up a provocative thought to leave you all with.
What's that?
In this new era, the elite workers won't be the ones who work the hardest. They'll be the best orchestrators. But here's the danger. As we delegate more and more of the doing to these agents, as we let Copilot build the deck and Gemini plan the route, how do we make sure we don't lose the ability to understand the work we're commanding them to do?
That's a question that might keep me up tonight. If the agent does all the swimming for us, do we forget how to tread water?
It's a risk we have to manage. Use them to assist, not to replace your own understanding.
On that slightly terrifying but exhilarating note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. Whether you choose Copilot, Gemini, or Claude, the message is clear. The water is fine, so jump in.
Just don't forget how to swim. Goodbye, everyone.